Well, I'll be decent today. As much as possible. No, no, no. Don't be decent. This first story is it's about bear hunting. So in the modern world, we have to have sex and violence. So last night we got the sex, and today we get the violence. We get some mayhem here. And the story starts, I guess probably 40 or 50 years ago, back in New York City. But it doesn't stay there for very long. Quite quickly, it comes a lot closer to home. But that's getting ahead of myself. And that's very hard to do, getting ahead of yourself. You ever thought about that, getting ahead of yourself? It's a very hard thing to do. It's like getting ahead of your shadow or something. And Carl Jung had some stuff to say about that. Anyway, we start back in New York City with a couple of friends. They were probably 50, 55, and they were very wealthy and very powerful. They'd made it to the top of the social heap in New York City. And in their minds, having made it to the top of the heap in New York City, they'd made it to the top of the heap in the whole world. Because anybody that's anybody lives in New York City. And they got jaded. They felt that having conquered the whole human race, it was time to branch out and try some other species. And so they became big game hunters. And they traveled all over the world, killing all the largest and most ferocious animals they could. And each time they came back, they had to add an addition onto their trophy room. It wasn't big enough to hold their trophies. They had gone to Siberia to kill the tiger, and the tiger of India as well. South America had given them the jaguar, even the python. Africa was their real place, though. They had killed elephants, water buffalo, rhinoceros, hippopotamus, and the lion. They'd killed almost every species of ferocious animal except the ultimate, the giant Kodiak, that lives on the western slopes of the coastal mountains, just where BC comes up against Alaska. And they thought it was time. And so they got in their hunting magazine and they found a bush pilot that could fly them into a remote lake and leave them there. This was in the years before in Canada you had to have a pilot or a guide to stay with you and you could just be there. And so they arranged to be dropped off and all their gear on the dock. And they carried all their gear over to this really sturdy cabin that was sitting in a large meadow, Muskeg Meadow. And when they had put all their stuff in the cabin, they went out to a sole tree that was in the meadow, and they threw a rope over a high branch, and they raised up two large salmon that were starting to rot, high enough that even the highest Kodiak wouldn't be able to reach the salmon. This was the bait. They had no intention of going out into the forest and actually confronting the Kodiak. That could be dangerous and uncomfortable. No, the plan was to stay near the safety of the cabin, and when the Kodiak came out and reached for the bait, they'd have a perfect shot. Kodiaks are huge bears. These are not your typical bear. They can reach 1,700 pounds and stand 10 feet high. They're gigantic. They're fearless, ferocious. They're not afraid of anything. They have no natural enemies. So these two New Yorkers were sitting on the porch cleaning their rifles. They were outfitted impeccably. They had been to L.L. Bean and Abercrombie Finch. High quality canvas pants. Hand-stitched Spanish hunting boots that they didn't think they would need, really. Plaid shirts, the down vest, cartridge belt. Flaps on their hat for the ears in case it got chilly in the evening. And their rifles, ha! 375 H&H Hollands, 270 grain slug. This'll stop an elephant. They didn't think they'd have trouble with the Kodiak. They were sitting there cleaning their rifles when from out of the boreal forest beyond... I was telling this story not long ago to some forestry people, you know, from out the UBC, and I used the word boreal forest, and they all got really upset. You can't use boreal forest on the western slope of the mountains. That only exists on the eastern slope of the mountains, you see. I think you have to say cedar hemlock or something like that. I'm not exactly sure. So if you're a scientist, you know, don't listen to the boreal forest, but if you're an artist, it's okay. We can use boreal forest because that means northern in arts language. So anyway, From out of the boreal forest beyond came this strange figure. The sun was behind, and it wasn't clear what it was. It was walking kind of crab-like, leaning on a stick and hobbling along. And when it got to the tree, it was heading for the cabin, and when it got to this tree with the rotting fish, it kind of gave a smell, looked up at these rotting salmon up there, let fly with a gob of tobacco juice from the wad he was holding up here in the cheek, thoughtfully scratched, raised a leg, and blew a fart, and then continued on his way toward the cabin. And when he got close enough, the men, the New Yorkers, could see it was a very old man, not very tall and just barely able to move, leaning on his stick. He had a little wispy beard, only a few gray hairs really hanging down, and one snaggle tooth sticking out of his mouth. And some of the snus juice from that chaw he was holding up here in his cheek had dribbled down and caked up the beard. Gray, greasy hair hung down over his collar, and his coat was so tattered and torn, bits and pieces were falling off. Pants were held up with a rope, and he was wearing rubber gum boots, taped and tied and wired together. No teeth except a snaggle one, so the other cheek was caved in, and his face was a mass of wrinkles. But he seemed friendly enough, and as he approached, he looked down at the two New Yorkers, and he said, "Hiya, boys. How you doing?" The New Yorkers weren't happy to see him. It seemed pretty clear to them that he wasn't from New York City, and so wasn't going to have anything of value to say. They ignored him, but he wasn't going away.
"I said, how you doing?"
"Granddad, we're fine."
"What you doing?"
Seemed obvious to them. They were cleaning their rifles. "We're cleaning our rifles, Granddad."
"But why? What you want the rifles for?"
"We're gonna hunt bear, Granddad. You know, the giant bear, the Kodiak, where you..." The old man thought about that, let fly another gob of tobacco juice.
"But what fur did you come up here to hunt the giant Kodiak? They don't bother you much. We don't bother them. They're not much good eating. Why do you want to kill them?"
"Because they're there. Once we kill the giant Kodiak, we'll have the grand slam."
"But still, I don't understand the rifles. We don't use rifles up here to hunt bears."
"You don't use rifles? How do you do it up here, Granddad?"
"Well, I'll show you. You stay here. I'll be back in a little while."
And he hobbled off and disappeared into the boreal forest beyond. The two New Yorkers totally forgot about him. They went inside, they were having a drink, making dinner, and about half an hour later, they heard this god-awful scream.
"Help! Oh, Jesus, save me!"
And they looked out the window. It was miraculous. This old man was a gumbooting it across the muskeg. Unbelievable the speed he was running. He was just a hoofing it across there. Hat was gone, his stick was thrown away. And he had good reason to be, because not 20 feet behind him was a huge Kodiak. We don't know what he'd done to the Kodiak, but it was something not nice, because that bear was pissed right off. Its eyes were popping out of its head. He was roaring and clawing with 3-inch claws. So angry was the bear, he bit his own lolling tongue, and blood and froth was coming out of the side of his mouth. He was charging after the old man. Arr! The old man's going, "Oh God, save me, help!" The American dream. He's gonna show us how to hunt bears. Let's just leave him out there. But they thought maybe there'd be a lot of paperwork. So they figured they'd let him in, hoping that the cabin would withstand. It was made of big logs, and they thought maybe it'll withstand this bear. And so they opened the door, and they were standing there to let the old man in if he were to make it, and then slammed the heavy door behind him. They were waiting. The old man's going, "Yes, yes, let me in, help!" He's running. running like this. His beard is blowing back over his shoulder, his hat's off. He was running so fast that even the wrinkles were blown out of his face. And the bear is gaining on him. The bear is not 10 feet behind. Clawing. The old man, oh, Jesus, help, save me, save me. It looked like he would make it. But not 15 feet from the cabin steps, disaster hit. He blew out a gumboot. He went spinning and skidding into a roll, but he was an agile old fart. He kicked the other boot off upside down and came up running, didn't miss a stride. By the time he hit the stairs, still screaming, save me, God! The Americans are there with the door. The bear is clawing at the old man's coat. He runs up the stairs, yes, save me! And he gets right to the open door. The Americans are holding it. He gets to the open door. He stops cold and he sidesteps. The bear went crashing into the cabin. The Americans are frozen with surprise. The old man smiled at them. And what they saw in his eyes was not entirely benevolent. And he reached in to close the door and said,
there now, you skin that one and I'll go get you another one.
And that's, of course, a true story.